The next case is 1996, Mahoning County Bar Association versus Michael Mogul.
Some organization by the name of
Judicial Committee of Review
to watch
yes,
calls people on the phone, record their conversation and the lines. Is this the same one?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
If not counsel to do so, what he said was he had a daughter attending paralegals from Florida. She sent him a clipping about some lawyers and judges being disbarred in this room before, and he got that idea last year where I was hired, where he was cooperating with the prosecutors.
Well, Mr. Mogul, I should say for you in the record, I didn't realize this was the same Mr. Frank when I read this. He has made many libelous statements about me to a number of people. If you would like me to recuse myself, I will. I apologize. I didn't realize this was the same Mr. Frank.
He's under many hands offered by you, and I appreciate advancing
the law. Well, I wouldn't make the same offer. He's done the same about me. But he's done about the chairman of the grievance committee, and he's... I don't know that any of us have really escaped his wrath.
Mr. Lance, do you have any objection to my continuing to sit on the case? Yeah. He's been unlike anyone else I've ever dealt with, and with me, so I don't have good feelings about him, I have to tell you that. So, I think I can decide your case fairly, but there could be some suggestion that...
Okay. Personally, he's put me through a hardship, and the reason I want to mention the process, I might get around to this, I can't get the calculation. Informally spoke with Mr. Lance, he said my failure to withdraw early grounds, which I view as permissive withdrawal, the recall action. It's a statutory action which has statutory attorney fees. That kept me on somewhat, and I thought eventually there'd be an accounting between the fighting parties and I could date.
How long have you been in practice?
I was there in 1977.
You had any other disciplinary cases filed against you or anything pending that we should know about?
I pushed an individual at a baseball game.
Okay, but that's not pending before the grievance, is it?
No.
Okay, but other than that, you've had nothing connected with your license to practice.
I recently read an article about rationale, and when one has difficulties, sometimes in an unrelated circumstance, you lash out. Prompting is involving you at that point. You know, I just was going on with your life. My wife's been depressed by taking this representation I did not afford. And when I approached the psychiatrist, I asked for a copy of my answers, a copy of the test, a copy of the course of aggressive in approaching the psychiatrist. Also, what we went on this case was the county bar, this county bar rule of 5, section 4, I-2, I was not given an opportunity to respond to each allegation before it was filed here in Columbus. And for some reason, I'm under the impression Judge Kessel reported that both the death and neglect cause of action is presented to a probable cause, and that did not happen. Simply to try to get this done with and over with, later, this is taken to John Marshall, who decided to disallow that complaint. I'm reviewing some recent decisions of the court on neglect. And the Office of Disciplinary Counsel versus Crowley and the case against Powerball, and this court emphasizes to the bar that it should not lie to the court or to the client. Nowhere in the testimony of Mr. Frank has indicated that I've misrepresented to him what the status of his four cases were. So I don't think the relator made his case on the neglect and custom matter. Now, I cited the Fock case on my short objection, but I did not quote this entire paragraph in it. But Fock, the Sixth Circuit, points out that there are several ways, and this is not post ad hoc rationalization, what I was going on was the principle that for summary judgment, we have to have no genuine issue of material facts, plus you're entitled to judgment as a matter of law. And I felt that the other side were not entitled to a judgment on the merits as a matter of law. And Mr. Frank wasn't fully cooperating in funding this litigation, that's in the record. He was slow on sending evidence. Some evidence I just never saw substantiated. However, Judge Kranzler did hold an oral argument on question standing, calling our representative's view. I presented my view, and I thought this was somewhat novel, especially in light of Judge Justice Boyer's opinion in Crosby versus Dean, which indicated in the closed corporation it was separately treated.
I gather from some of the comments you mentioned there's a lot of history on this gentleman that I'm not aware of, but I was particularly taken back and concerned by the concern the board had regarding your mental health and your ability to deal with real life, perhaps rising out of this situation and other incidents in your life. Two psychiatrists reports who both say you've got serious problems and you probably ought to stop for a while and get some serious treatment.
The love office, right? didn't address whatever my situation was.
You have two psychiatrists who both agree that you have some serious problems, but you still don't feel you do.
Mr. Frank informed me 3 weeks ago that he's suing one of the prior attorneys in the insurance carrier.
I'm not asking about him. I'm asking about you. Do you have a problem?
In respect to your definition, I'm not providing to my family. I mean, I've got, you know, because of representative Mr. Frank, I kind of go on food stamps. I didn't get any cash. I try to keep the gentleman in court, I try to preserve his cause of action, and I continue to follow corporate law.
But are you seeking any mental health treatment for yourself? We have not done so since October, so
The therapy that we've done is like, and that's not a way too much. I sent my wife to real estate school to try to cure her depression.
What did you do for yourself?
Are you saying you don't have the money to go to a psychiatrist? Is that what I'm hearing?
My mother died in 2015. I was plus $30,000. My mother took all the money. There was a declaratory judgment action pending on Collin County Probate Court. Trying to fund the estate, so it's not the real estate.
It's impossible.
Have you got any services from the free mental health agency in this time?
Say, if I pay for an attorney paycheck, then I'm you show up for a status conference, the law firm says I have no authority, no reference order to do anything. I'm just here to see what's going on and for any settlement negotiations. Judge Gerchak, about 6 months before that, graciously obtained a $100,000 offer from the other side. Mr. Frank is asking to reappoint and join that corporation. Generates $600,000 and has a 1988 for this gentleman. So there was some money there, and perhaps $100,000 is not worthwhile. And when his share was approximately $300,000, which they bubbled into. They were acquiring property, they were acquiring businesses.
You need to sum up, Mr. Moore.
Right. So the withdrawal. I'm standing there and I'm trying to protect his interests, and I ask Mr. Page, I believe, please give me something, a letter, so I can send a motion to the board to move to the substitution of counsel. And he refused. I sent a letter 2 weeks later, and the response was a first meeting. So,
you've used your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Lance.
Thank you for the additional time.
Once you get engaged with them,
you're just hopelessly mired and to
Well, I don't know that any client is one fit victim to be hopelessly mired. I think still, regardless of the client, abide by the disciplinary rules. And the easy thing, I mean, the excuses that he's not what the thing might be and I was in here to protect my team and so on, none of that changes the fact that if the client's not being cooperative, you withdraw. That's not a reason to not. That's the reason to withdraw. And Mr. Wethel's offering as an excuse for why he didn't do things was because why he didn't respond to some judgment, the client wasn't cooperating, the client wasn't paying his bills. Those are reasons for withdrawals. Those are reasons for get out. Those are not reasons for staying involved with the client and ignoring the legal duty.
Okay, is there more to the underlying case? Is that the case?
No, those are the violations. I mean, for example, there were a repeated pattern. Vogel says it was not a repeated pattern with respect to the federal RICO case, but in fact, the Sixth Circuit, as quoted extensively in my brief, listed all the various neglected matters that Vogel did in that case. And the Sixth Circuit is only interpreted to be based around race and civil. So, with respect to that case, not only did you have a failure to respond to summary judgment, but you also had a failure to respond to conduct discovery, meet deadlines, and so on and so forth. With respect to the withdrawal, what I'd like to point out there is, I mean, he didn't just fail to withdraw, but he failed to withdraw repeatedly over a protracted length of time. There was a letter discharging his services in January of 1994. In August of 1994, he appeared at a status conference when Mr. Frank had other counsel representing him and indicated to the referee that he was still representing Mr. Frank.
Right. Who says the lawyer showed up for Frank?
The referee at that time said, you need to file a motion to withdraw. He still didn't file a motion to withdraw. 2 weeks later, Mr. Frank filed a grievance. He still didn't file a motion to withdraw.
Mr. Mogul pretty much tells us that he thought there was a fee coming, and
right.
So he didn't want to get out because
right.
He was hoping to get that fee.
Right.
I think your point seems to be, to sum up, it seems to be that even though Mr. Frank may be, I would guess he probably is, a very difficult client to work with, that if a lawyer is going to continue to represent that sort of person, they have to follow a code of professional responsibility. I mean,
that's
like
right.
Anybody else. And
in this
he
case,
did.
Obviously, a lot of people have gone through a lot of time, expense, and trouble to just enforce the disciplinary rules. It wasn't until after the complaint was filed by the Bar Association, so Mr. Vogel finally withdrew, and that was 18 months after he was terminated, and over a year after it was
Well, we also have the reports of two psychiatrists that are, the first one, of course, says...
The Board of Commissioners case recommended a length of suspension and further recommended that all but 90 days be suspended on the condition responding to psychiatric treatment. First of all, you have to realize that the board on its own made the determination that an examination was necessary based upon conduct during the hearing itself.
Well, Dr. Richardson said to get to this individual is currently not fit for his occupation as an attorney. So I guess the board has some reason with that. And then the other doctor says it's not permanent, but he needs treatment and so forth to be able to practice. So we've got two doctors who say he needs help, but he's not getting it. Sounds as if he's not getting it.
Or he can go back to practice.
Yeah.
The psychiatrist appointed by the board made that determination. The psychiatrist chosen by Mr. Vogel agreed that while it's not a permanent condition, he's going to need at least 2 or 3 months worth of treatment before he's going to be good to practice. And as you pointed out, unfortunately, he's not adopting treatment. So there are basically two reasons for adopting the recommendations of the Board of Commissioners. One, that there were violations, and secondly, the recommendation concluded that he'd be suspended for 90 days while he gets treatment, and then they basically passed a psychiatric competency examination before he resumes practice. And that's necessary not only as a result of violations, but just to protect both Mr. Mogul himself from further violations, as well as the public from further violations. And so just going along with that last point, I would like to just give a little more detail. On December 11th of 1996, Mr. Mogul was convicted of assault in the Georgia Municipal Court. And this goes hand in hand with...
Was in the court, in the municipal court?
Georgia Municipal Court.
Oh, I'm sorry. The conviction was there, but the incident wasn't there.
No, no. The incident was, I believe, a softball game involved.
Oh, yeah.
Did either of the psychiatrists testify?
No. These were post-hearing examinations.
What was the hearing examinations ordered by whom?
The board on the road. Ordered the examination and showed Dr. Richardson, and then after that examination was performed, and the report was filed, this photo filed a motion to allow him to have an
So what was the foundation for admitting the two Rutters? The board's sua sponte motion to examine and his own motion to have examination and his submission of it?
That's right.
So the letters are properly with foundation in the record?
Yes. That's basically our position. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Mr. Mogul, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds if you'd like. Start with 30 seconds.
Getting back to post hoc explanation, I was recently reading a case regarding Chip Matter. Talked about the Worker versus Falcon doctrine, which is two Supreme Court cases which state that the Federal District Court and the Federal Court of Appeals has no jurisdiction to review the proceedings or judgments of state courts. Just State Judge Thomas, during the crucial time of the summary judgment and before Judge Ransfer, issued a show cause order demanding that Frank show cause why he should not allow him. As I start out pointing out, I was representing four cases. I was trying, under the Worker versus Feldman doctrine, the ultimate resolution of his claims. Perhaps on state court and then be reviewed by the Supreme Court as opposed to being presented to the U.S. District Court as I can to the people at me. But the case I was reading was Young versus Murphy's, volume 9, that's third, was 1983.
Thank you, Mr. Mogul. The case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion. The marshal will please adjourn court.
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye.